Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We are located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're so glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is truly a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238. Or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares the message titled, The Power of Faithfulness, Faithful Fellowship.
And I just have to say to my brother who talked about the Gamecocks, Clemson Tigers, the beloved Cowboys. Y'all know how much I love the Cowboys, about as much as Stephen A. Smith loved them. Okay. But the only Tigers I really care about are the Benedict College Tigers. And just for the record, Benedict is undefeated. 7-0. The only, I want all you Bulldog fans to hear this, the only HBCU that's undefeated are the Benedict. Y'all allow the pastor to brag at least a little bit. Amen. You know that's my school. Amen. Amen. Congratulations to Benedict and congratulations to that wonderful team. There's a word from the Lord that we want to share this day. At the beginning of this year, we introduced you to the theme, spiritual empowerment. And I remember saying to God, when God gave me this theme, I said, now you know this is going to be mostly pastoral teaching and preaching all year, because we are going to talk about the nine fruit of the Spirit. And then God reminded me of something. God reminded me of this, Pastor Lawson. He said every epistle in the Bible was written to believers, because when believers get encouraged and strengthened, they go out and win other folk to the Lord. So the Bible reminded me that the word and the church is like a gas station. We come to fill up, to go, not to sit still. Amen. And so take God's word as an encouragement from God. With that in mind, this is the third message in the series, The Power of Faithfulness. Faithfulness is the seventh fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit allows you to know that the Holy Spirit lives in you. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 is where our text is found this morning. One verse in one chapter in one incredible book, the New Living Translation, The Power of Faithfulness. And I want you to take this in the spirit in which God has given me. Just remember, it is to encourage us and to challenge us, particularly those of us who are believers, so that we can go back and win souls. To those who are not believers, there's a word in here for you as well. Listen to what the author of the book of Hebrews writes in verse 25. He says, and let us not neglect our meeting together. In other words, let us not forsake or neglect coming together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And we ask God's blessings on the reading and the hearing of his word. Let us not neglect or forsake our meeting or coming together. For the next few moments, I want to speak to you from this subject. It's a two-part subject in the power of faithfulness. Here's the message that God has given us. It's called faithful fellowship. Don't give up on the church. Look at somebody around you and say, faithful fellowship. Now wave at somebody and say, don't give up on the church. Clap those hands as you take your seats. Faithful, faithful fellowship. Don't give up. Somebody say, the devil is a liar. I won't give up on the church. Historically, and throughout the history of humanity, throughout particularly the history of Christianity, one of the key indicators of faithfulness among believers, one of the key indicators of faithfulness among Christians, among faith walkers, has been our commitment and our willingness to come together, to worship together, to fellowship together. That has always been an indicator since the beginning of the church, coming together. The book of Acts talked about how they came together one place on one accord, and how they shared among each other and they built each other up together. The psalmist understood this even before the creation of the New Testament church. For the psalmist writes in Psalms 122, verse 1, the King James Version perhaps puts it best, when the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. In other words, nobody ought to show up to worship with an attitude. God is too good to come to church mad. Can I preach? Mother Jackson, I told the 8 o'clock service, I still remember Mother Lottie Reese. And I love Mother Lottie Reese. And Deacon Simmons, you remember when we were younger, even in the first church built in 1967, Mother Reese would come to church and she would always come in church, skipping and hopping and dancing and clapping. And when I was young, when we were young, we didn't understand that. But I must confess, as I got older and had children and had to put food on the table, clothes on their backs, had to pay light bill, car payment, and mortgage payment too, I understood why if you woke up one morning and you can make it to church, there was a reason to be happy. Am I preaching to any wrong folk? Some of you act too sad for God to have been so good to you. If God wakes you up in the morning, that's all you need to praise God. In fact, here's how the Bible puts it. Let everything that have breath praise ye. It didn't say everybody got money, praise God. Didn't say everybody who things are going well in their life or the if you can breathe, you owe God something. Am I right about it? You owe God something. And so it has been, Lord, I owe you my presence. I owe you my praise. I owe you my thanksgiving. Unfortunately, however, we are living during a time in which it seems as if those who are faithfully committed to worship and fellowship are becoming fewer and fewer every day. And it's not just in South Carolina. It's not just here. It's all over the world. People are becoming, in fact, here's a stat that will amaze you. The most depressed countries of the world are the ones that are seeing the fastest growth of evangelism. And so it seems as if the more depressed or hardships they go through, the more God gets the glory. How come people that are the most blessed How come people who have the most somehow find less time to praise God? Y'all help me understand. Maybe I just don't know. Maybe I don't get it. Help me understand why the more God does for you, the harder it becomes for you to worship and praise God. Listen, I just want to make sure that you don't think this is just anecdotal or I'm just making this up. Social scientists, behavior scientists, those who study social behavior have said this, that more and more people today seem to be giving up on the church. For these same behavior and social scientists will say that these people are now questioning the value of the church in their personal lives. What is so strange about that is that we have more churches than ever with less people going. So what that lends itself to is cannibalization and proselytizing. Instead of people going out, starting a church, and going for people who don't go to nobody's church, they go and try to cannibalize people, say, come over here. You'll be happier over here. They aren't adding to the kingdom. They're just transferring seats. I'm preaching now. But if you want to do something for the kingdom, find folk who don't believe, folk who are not worshiping with anyone, and let them know that God is still good all the time, and all the time God is good. So as I began to study this, I ran across this article that Gallup published, and it was found in gallup.com, and we put just a picture of it just so you know that I'm not just making this up. Okay, the headline of the article perhaps says it best. It says, and I quote, church attendance has declined in most U.S. religious groups. That's what the article says. Now, they've studied this. The article goes on to share some facts. You know I love data. I love quoting things as opposed to just being anecdotal and says I've got a feeling. I just, maybe it's just the nature of me that like your feelings to be backed up with facts, okay? And so the article says that 20 years ago, listen to this, an average of 42% of adults in the United States attended religious services every week or nearly every week. And they thought that was something good to celebrate. Okay? 20 years ago, 42%. I would submit to you that if they went even further, the numbers were even higher. So the social scientists went on to say 10 years ago, that number of 42 had dropped to 38%. Today, 2025, it has dropped to 30%, which means only 3 out of 10 people in the United States go to church. 7 out of 10 are still sleeping. Probably 3 out of those 7 are still hungover from last night or mad at somebody for doing something that the person don't even remember what they did to them. Now, let me clarify something. I do understand the advent, and I do understand what virtual worship has done. And it is good. We embrace virtual worship. And just so you know, I found this article, put it on the board again, help as DJ has for me. It's called Virtual Worship is Still Worship. Just so you know, those that virtually worship, we appreciate them. It's still worship. However, can the pastor preach now? Virtual worship is not for lazy worshipers. There are people who virtually worship because that's all they can do. They're sick. They can't get out. They're taking care of a loved one. They have to work on their jobs. They have things that come up. We understand that. We understand that there's sometimes in your life you need to go on vacation so you can catch up later. You can get it on demand. But virtual worship is not an excuse for pajama Baptist worshipers. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There are some folk that have been so spoiled, and I get it. Listen, can I tell you something? We have been on the cutting edge of virtual worship for a long time. This church, the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, first initiated our first virtual worship service in the year 2003. That's 17 years before the pandemic. Thanks to Sister Wanda Lord Hart and Deacon Ed Mines, who did a phenomenal job of putting together for us virtual. They saw it, we saw it. They came to me and says, this is something that is going to be popular. We need to create this for those who can't come. And Wanda herself was sick. She's home every Sunday now with rheumatoid arthritis, suffering mightily, but she never misses a virtual worship service. Can we put our hands together for Sister Wanda Lord Hart? And so virtual worship was created for people like that who cannot get here. And Bible Way was on the cutting edge 17 years before the pandemic. God allowed us to create this. And I know, I also get it, that there are some people who've been, quote, church hurt. Can I just keep it real? And I realize that just because someone goes to church doesn't mean that they are a good person. Your pastor has good enough sense to know that. In fact, I know from firsthand experience that some of the biggest devils, oh, help me. I hope I can preach next Sunday. And the biggest demons sit up in here in church and treat people cruelly and rudely and nasty. Ooh. As they can be. You haven't met a cruel, mean demon until you see one of these church demons that think that they are spiritually entitled to seats and positions and get mad at you for no reason you can figure out. And I know sometimes the devil uses their nasty disposition and their nasty attitude to depress your joy. And the truth of the matter is, some of you and some of us have been hurt by church leaders. Can I just keep it real? Some of y'all saying amen too much on that. Deacon Tommy Wilson say amen, amen. He ain't talking about me, are you, Deacon? Okay, yeah, yeah. I understand that. Some of you have been hurt by church leaders, but you ought not use that as your excuse to give up on the church. Can I preach? Look at somebody and say, the devil is a liar. Listen, just because you've been hurt by church leaders ought not be an excuse to stop faithfully worshiping and fellowshipping together. Let me share with you why. For we encounter, tell me if I'm right or not, we encounter on our jobs, demons and devils. Am I right? We encounter in our families demons and devils. We encounter in life demons and devils. But we don't quit work. Because we got to work with a demon, or if you do, you won't be able to eat or pay your light bill. You still know how to go to work 5 days a week and hold your peace and work next to a demon or a devil, you don't walk out on your family. Because you've got demons and devils in your family, and we know you don't stop living because you encounter demons and devils in life. And so why should a demon or a devil stop you from coming and praising God in the presence of other saints of God? All I need is a handful of folk that say, Pastor Jackson, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall always be in my mouth. If I can work with a demon, I can worship with one. If I can live with a demon, I can worship with one. You can't steal my joy, for this joy I have, the world can't take it away. World didn't get it, and the world can't take it away. Somebody just help me say, I still have joy. Anybody know how to praise God next to a demon and a devil? Anybody know how to praise God in the presence of your adversary? For David said, thou anointed my head with oil in the presence of mine enemies. I know how to give God my best praise. And if you don't like me, you're going to have to watch me praise God. If you want to talk about me, talk about this. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. In fact, somebody just think of one good thing that God has already done for you. Come on, you got 20 more seconds. Somebody right now, put a praise, put a Shabbat praise, clap your hands, open your mouth, and say, if it had not been for the Lord, he brought me. Woo. So when I get up in the morning, brush my teeth, put on my clothes, drive to church, baby, it's not just to check out your outfit, but I came in the door that said, oh, God is good. I woke up this morning. It was still dark outside. I opened the blinds to my window and said, Lord, I thank you for another day. Woo. Somebody ought to help me thank God for another day. Woo. Look at your neighbor and say, God's been too good for me to stay home, act cute, get mad. God is too good. Listen, we should not allow anything or anyone to block the blessings that are associated with faithful worship and fellowship. For the author of the book of Deuteronomy writes in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and all these blessings shall follow you and shall overtake you. There's some blessings associated. Mother Reese lived to be almost 100 years old, and she always had joy. I know she had her issues like anybody else, and problems and pain and suffering, but you've got to learn how to praise God through it. I wish I had just a handful of folk that said, Pastor, I don't care who's sitting next to me. It's their problem if they don't want to hear me praise God. Woo. I came to church to praise God. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you're going to sit next to me, I hope you can praise God too. Because nobody's too cute, too bougie, too uppity, too blessed to praise God. He brought me from a mighty. Ooh. I don't know, this may be my last time. It may be the last chance I get. Woo! Listen, for the next few moments, let us move on to the text. We got to be in Spartanburg at 3 o'clock. Let us move on to the text and examine what it says about the importance of faithful fellowship. The author of this incredible text writes this passage during a very difficult and challenging time for the first century church, for the first century believers, Christians, faith walkers. Worship has always, to these believers, been about sacrifice. I want you to catch this. Worship has never been about convenience. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Can I just let that marinate for just a second? Look at someone and say, worship has never been about convenience. It should never be about when you can fit it in. It should never be about when you feel your best. Gosh, if everybody who felt like they had a headache coming on would stay home and not worship, then God would never get any glory. But worship has always been about sacrifice. In fact, the book of Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5. I want you to make note of this. The first time the word worship is used in the Bible, it is used in the context of sacrifice. Abraham was told to sacrifice his son Isaac. Abraham obeys the instructions of God. I want to help you understand the mindset of Abraham. Lord, I've waited till I'm 100 years old to have this son. And now you tell me to take my only son, Isaac, and sacrifice him to you. He did not hesitate. He did not contemplate. He did not debate God. He takes Isaac along with his servants to the mountain, and he leaves his servants at the foot of the mountain. And he says to his servants, first time the word worship is used, he says to his servants, stay here with the donkey. Abraham told his servants, listen to what he says, the boy and I will travel a little farther. Ah, thank you, Holy Spirit. We will worship there. Oh, my friend John Richardson, he went there knowing his instructions were to sacrifice. But Abraham knew that even if God takes my son, it's a sacrifice, it's still worship. We will worship there. But then Abraham had enough faith to believe that I don't know how God's going to work this out, but I know God has promised me Isaac. And God promised that I will have children from Isaac. And the only way I can have descendants from Isaac is that Isaac got to stay alive. So he says to his servants, we will worship there. Then look at the text. We will come right back. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He didn't say, I'm coming right back. He said, I don't know how God's going to do it, but I'm here to tell you, we're coming back. Look at your neighbor and say, we're coming back. Look at somebody and say, I'm coming out of this. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, you can come out of this. God will make a way out of nowhere. Don't know how, don't know where, don't know when, but I know God is able. Y'all help me celebrate. I need a handful of folk that have the energy to stand to your feet one time, open your mouth and say, Lord, I don't know how you're gonna work it out, but I believe somehow, somewhere, God will make a way somehow, somehow. Wave at three people, say somehow, somehow.
somehow,
Woo! Y'all sit down before church breaks out. As you take your seat, just yell one time, I'm coming out of this. You've got to declare it before it happens. Abraham said it before he came back. He declared, we're coming back, me and my son, because only two people went up there with him. When he said, we are coming back, it meant the boy and I are coming back. Oh, I'll preach that another time. The author of the book of Hebrews goes on in chapter 11 and verses 35 and 37. Remember what I said to you. First time the word worship is used in the Bible, it is used in the context of sacrifice. The author of the book of Hebrews understood this. And he describes in graphic details the many sacrifices that believers and Christians were going through. First century Christians and even believers who are no longer there. In order to fully understand this, you've got to allow me to share with you chapter 11, verses 35 to 37, the New Living Translation. Listen to what the author writes, then perhaps you'll understand the text a little better. Women receive their loved ones back again from death, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goat. What the text doesn't tell you is that having put on that skins of sheep and goat, their adversaries turned them loose in the arenas and allowed wild animals to devour their bodies for their entertainment. This is what believers went through. He says, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. So the author says, I just want to set the record for you what folk had to go through in order to worship God. So perhaps it would have been so easy for him to give them an excuse. Perhaps he could have said, knowing what you could be faced with, I understand your apprehension about coming to worship. I understand your reservation about praising God openly. But that is not what he writes. He goes on, having said all of that, he says, now let us not neglect our meeting together. Wait a minute. After you have already told me what others went through for meeting together, you are still encouraging us to come together. Look at somebody and say, sacrifice. And then there are some folk in 2025 can't even come to church because folk talk about them. Not that you've been stoned or put in an arena or cut in half. You just can't stand folk talking about you. And so listen to what he says. He says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encouraging one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing nigh. What I heard the author say is that knowing all that you know, all the sacrifices that others have done, knowing what may happen to you, I'm wondering if you still have the faith to fellowship together, knowing it may be your last time. Knowing that it may cost your life. But I'm willing, Lord. Is there anybody in here willing to give God whatever God requires of you? Lord, no matter what it costs, count on me. Count on me. Faithful servant, I will be. I will fight with all my might. Lord, somebody say, count on me. Can God count on you? Listen, three key insights from this incredible text that I want to leave with you before the benediction. Three key things. Number one is this. These words given by the author of the book of Hebrews, it is a clear command. He didn't say, I suggest this. I'm recommending this. Follow me. Look at somebody and say, it is a command. Do not neglect meeting together. He says you've got to do it. You've got to come together. You've got to press your way out. You've got to push through the hurt and the pain, the disappointment, and push your way out and worship God. Faithful fellowship is something that God expects. It is not an option. It is a command. It is come together. God expects this. God says, and I've set the stage and told you that others have sacrificed everything. I'm encouraging you, the author says, to press your way through all the things the adversary will throw your way. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, it's a command. We've got to do it. Lord, I bless you at all times. You've got to praise God. You've got to worship God. Is there anybody in the house right now feel compelled just to praise God? Since you're out, you might as well praise God. You should clap your hand and give God. Think of all that God has been. Lord, you wake me up every day. Thank you. Somebody say thank you. Tell the Lord thank you. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Second key insight lifted from these words is that it is an opportunity to encourage others. Look at what the text says again. The text says, but encourage one another. Faithful fellowship is not just about you receiving encouragement. Go with me, church. It is also about you being an encouragement. You encouraging somebody is not all about what you can get. What about what you can give? What about how you make somebody else feel? What about, can I bless somebody else? Can I press my way and bless somebody else? Your smile, your prayer, your encouraging word can change somebody else's life. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, keep coming. Keep praying. Keep smiling. You don't know what that person has gone through that God allows you to sit next to this morning. Just your aura, just your presence, and just your smiling face says to somebody else, baby, you're not alone. Says you're not by yourself. How many of you know that you're not alone? Look at your neighbor and encourage somebody and say, you are not alone. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, you are sitting next to somebody who has survived some hardships, trials, and tribulation. But I am a living witness that if God can bring me out, he can bring you out too. Y'all encourage somebody and say, you can make it. You can make it. folk need to see your smile. They need to hear you say, I am a living witness that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ask. Woo! Anybody know he's able? It's one thing to read it in the Bible. It is another thing to let people see your face. Look at your neighbor and say, look at me. You are looking at a living testimony. Woo! I see you, Joyce. I see you, Elder Randolph Franklin. Your wife is a living testimony. All I need, don't y'all fool me now. All I need is about 100 living testimonies. Leave your seat. Run here and look me in the face. Stand at this altar. Say, Pastor Jackson. You are looking at a living. When I come to church, you are looking at a testimony. Tell your neighbor, you are looking at a testimony. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. Tell the Lord, thank you. Tell the Lord, thank you. Somebody help me say, Lord, you didn't have to do it, but I'm glad you did. Woo! I am one blessed somebody. I can't testify for you, but if you are blessed, lift your hands and say, I am one blessed somebody. Say, neighbor, you are standing next to, you are sitting next to one. Woo! Blessed. Just say blessed. Just say blessed. Wave your hand over somebody and say blessed. Say blessed going in. Blessed coming out. Blessed in the city. Blessed in the country. Blessed on my job. Blessed in my house. Woo! All the blessed folk. Say, Lord, I thank you. Make some noise up in here. Woo. Just keep on praying. The Lord is nigh. Just keep on praying. He'll hear your cry. The Lord has promised, and his word is true. Just keep on praying. Woo! He'll answer you. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Tell your neighbor, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up on the church. There's still blessings in the house. There's still a breakthrough in the house. There's still anointing. Woo! Yeah. Woo! As you stand, the third and the final insight. The author says it's a sense of urgency. He says, if there's any time you ought to keep worshiping and come to church. It ought to be now. Why? Because the day of his return is drawing near. Okay, somebody said, neighbor, Jesus is soon to come. Every worship service, every fellowship is preparing us for his return. Ooh, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Last thing I want to do if the rapture comes is to be home having a pity party. Amen. Last thing I want to be when the rapture comes is to be caught up in my feelings. Amen, somebody. Ooh, these are the last and the evil days that we're living in. I want to be ready when he comes. Listen, right now as we conclude this message, let us encourage one another to remain faithful. Look at somebody and say, remain faithful in your worship, in your fellowship. To those of you that are listening by radio, remain faithful. To those of you who are home and can't make it out to service, remain faithful, knowing that as a part of God's family, we need each other. Look at somebody and say, we need each other, especially during these last and evil days. I need you. You need me. We all are a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We all are part of God's body. It is his will that every need be supplied. Here's the part that I like, and I need you to help me with this. Look at someone and say, you are important to me. I need you to survive. Look on the other side and tell your neighbor, I'll pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. You love me. I need you. I need you. I need you to survive. To everybody who's sitting on your couch at home, we need you. We need your smile. We need your presence. Pastor, but I don't do anything in church. You do the most important thing. You show up and you encourage somebody else who's showing up. We've got people showing up in wheelchairs. We've got folks showing up who can barely hold on, but they show up. Amen. We've got 90-year-old church mothers who, with arthritis, have wrecked their bodies, but they can't stay home because God has been too good to them. Look at somebody and say, don't you give up on the church. Tell your neighbor, don't you give up on God. And please, neighbor, tell him, please don't give up on me. I need you. Come on, team, I need you. I need you to survive. Come on, Pastor Mac. Amen. Stand with me. I just turn to somebody, grab them by the hand, and say, I pray for you.
I pray.
Just begin praying for somebody right now. Come on, pray for somebody. Pray for somebody whose hands you're holding right now. Pray for with words. I love you. I need you. For that neighbor, pray for that neighbor whose hands you're holding right now. If you pray for somebody, God will bless you. Pray, pray right now.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We thank you, God. We're not going to give up on the church. God, we thank you for your word declares, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail. We are invading hell right now, God. And we believe that it's not going to prevail. God, we bound the hands of the enemy in the name of Jesus. You gave us the keys, God. And we rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. We rebuke every demon, God, that wants to discourage us. We thank you, God, for those that are faithful. We ask that you continue to bless them. Remember those that are at this altar right now in the name of Jesus. Perhaps something have discouraged them, God, to cause them to want to give up on the church. But on today, God, you have already declared through your word, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. For God, you're soon to come. We believe that you're coming real soon, and we bless your name. God, bless those that are sick. Heal their bodies. Bless those that need deliverance. Perhaps someone needs to be saved right now. We believe that the word has already changed them. Bless those that are viewing us online, God, in the name of Jesus. That person that stayed home right now that says, I wasn't coming back anymore. Next Sunday, God, they're going to return to church. And we believe that it shall be done. And we give your name the honor. We give your name the glory, and we give your name the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen, amen, amen. Give God a praise. As you return to your seat, if there's someone, amen, that's been challenged from the word of God that says, I'm not going to give up on the church. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to join the church on today. We encourage you to come on up. We encourage you. Perhaps you want to be baptized. You want to become a member of the church. We invite you to come on up front. Our pastors, our ordained elders, our ministers are waiting on you. If you need special prayer, we can offer special prayer for you right now. Next door, we'll take you next door and we're praying for you. If you're viewing us through our live internet and you want to join this ministry, there is an icon that you can click on and it'll take you straight to join this ministry. Perhaps you don't want to come and walk down the aisles. Just take your phone out, click on that QR code and let someone know that you're interested in joining this church. Give God a praise for the word of God from our senior pastor. What an awesome, awesome word.
You have been listening to the worship service of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off Interstate 77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services right here on the radio. We are also streaming live on our website at bwcar.org, on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you missed any of our services, or if you just want to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for a CD or DVD of today's sermon titled The Power of Faithfulness, Faithful Fellowship, please call us at 803-776-1238. Reference sermon number 101925. Again, that telephone number is 803-776-1238. Sermon number 101925. The Worship and Arts Ministry will host midweek service Tuesday, October 28th at 7 p.m. in the sanctuary with special guest speaker, Elder Regina Skeeters. Bring a friend and join us for Homecoming 2025 midweek service, Friday, October 31st, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Join the Bible Way Church family for our annual Fall Festival at the Youth Development Center. There will be food trucks, candy, door prizes, and fellowship. Bring your entire family to celebrate Fall Festival Friday, October 31st at 6 p.m. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by clicking the link on our website at bwcar.org. Or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to the number 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please do not mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. We thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.